We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
There'll be a lot of robots. There'll be a lot of automation. There'll be a lot of AI. I'm sure there's going to be a plethora of different payment types and systems and regulated and unregulated. And then there'll be, you know, the good old machine learning and, you know, algorithm-based learning that makes our experiences better as shoppers. So, you know, all of that together equals one big innovation lab. But really, the way it shows up for retailers is in the experience that customers have when they pick up a product, when they browse a website, or when they, you know, walk down an aisle in a store.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk to retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. This year, the National Retail Federation, for the 112th time, is convening in New York City for their annual big show. We're very excited about it and excited to have everybody together once again. This episode, I'll be talking with Eric Olson and my other colleague, Jill Dvorak, who are helping to put this together about what to expect for those people that come to New York and participate in the show. So let me start by saying, hello, Eric.
Hello, Bill. Nice to be here. Thanks so much.
And Jill, how are you doing?
I am so excited. I'm really excited to be here, but also for the show in just a few days.
I am too. So let's just do a little, no pun intended, stage setting. What is the big show? I mean, what is that all about?
For me, the big show is bringing the brightest and biggest minds together, convening that, sharing those insights, particularly from our main stage. The top themes that retailers and consumers are thinking about each year, whether that is through sustainability, DE&I, customer experience, all the different pillars that we kind of organize the content around. It's also a place where the industry really kind of comes together. I consider it, because it's so close to that big football game that everybody talks about, the Super Bowl. This is NRF Super Bowl. So it's super exciting to be back in person in New York. To me, it's really just everybody getting together and celebrating the industry that's really done so much, particularly in the past 20 some odd months of craziness.
It has been interesting is about the lightest word that you could use to describe a heavy, heavy, heavy period of time. Jill, you do a lot in terms of coordinating the content of the people that will be actually presenting at the show. Give us a sense of kind of like the persona of who are these people and what are some of the themes that they're going to be discussing?
Yeah, I mean, as you both alluded to, it's some of the best and the brightest in the industry. You know, retail is about serving customers really in any way they want to be served. Is that online? Is that on the phone? Is that from your phone? Is that in person? Or a hybrid of all of the above? So we've really put together a pretty wide swath of grocery, you know, hard goods, soft goods, some pharmacy in there, apparel, furniture. I mean, really wide ranging in terms of what we consider retail. We have their CEOs. We have both, you know, the press on stage as well as off stage to really help amplify all of these incredible, I'm going to use the word, pivots that they've continued to do throughout the last 2 years, and really, you know, take us through and take us through again another holiday where things are just different every single time. We're really excited about not only the diversity and equity and inclusion addition we've made to the stage this year, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, January 17th, but we've also added an entire stage just focused on supply chain. There is not a person listening or a retailer at this show that has not figured out that, you know, there have been some trouble spots and we need to really come together and figure out ways to get the supply chain variability and visibility kind of under control. So that will be happening all 3 days at the show. And we're really excited to not only start there, but then leap forward and do our own event next year about supply chain.
Well, I think one of the greatest parts about the show is the tactile experience, where you get to see and touch and listen and experience some of the greatest innovations that retail has to offer. What can we expect this year?
Well, there's a whole innovation lab that, you know, it's always one of the most popular places to go and meet and just touch and experience. And, you know, some of it seems so futuristic, but then in 6 months, you're like, oh, there it is on a shelf. So it's really interesting to see both kind of the smaller startups there, as well as some of these, you know, bigger companies, their acquisition and, you know, acceleration labs, what they showcase. There'll be a lot of robots. There'll be a lot of automation. There'll be a lot of AI. I'm sure there's going to be a plethora of different payment types and systems and regulated and unregulated. And then there'll be, you know, the good old machine learning and, you know, algorithm-based learning that makes our experiences better as shoppers. So, you know, all of that together equals one big innovation lab, but really the way it shows up for retailers is in the experience that customers have when they pick up a product, when they browse a website, or when they, you know, walk down an aisle in a store.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We were talking a little earlier about the fact that with the recent outbreak of the Omicron variant and people very concerned about that, I think that there is just an inevitability that we're going to have to address, you know, this past 20 months, as you mentioned, Eric, 20 months of just an extraordinary time, not only in our world, but certainly in our communities and certainly in our stores, large or small, everybody's had to deal with this. I'm assuming that we're going to be hearing from speakers that are going to address that. Eric, do you have any sense of, like, is there any reflection going on or kind of lessons learned?
Yeah, well, so interestingly enough, when we first started planning Big Show's 22 version, we were looking at a lot of fatigue in terms of people talking about COVID. And then, you know, as things progressed through the fall and as of recent, we've understood that there's definitely a lot more, you know, to be talked about, and they will, kind of how that impacts the next year, the next 5 years, in terms of being able to offer, you know, unprecedented delivery times, or buy online, pick up in store is going to be just like, oh yeah, that's just second nature. Whereas, you know, 20 months ago, that was a really hard thing for retailers to pull off. I think that, to kind of sum it up, yes, there will be definitely a nod to kind of what's happening and what's been happening, particularly in the past just 2 months. But it will also, we want to, like, and I think the audience wants to know, how will that impact what's going to happen going into 2022? How will that impact kind of the future of retail?
One thing we've really tasked a lot of our, whether they're analysts, moderators, you know, research companies, consultants with, is looking at the behaviors that have shifted over the past 20 months. Which are the sticky ones? Which are the ones that are here to stay? And is that in certain areas of the country? Is that certain demographics, certain psychographics? Because that really does affect how retailers make their plans. You know, both inventory buying, you know, whole supply chain, as well as, you know, pushing inventory forward and, you know, in real-time inventory. So there's a lot of those shifts we can learn from. Some were pure Band-Aid fixes to what we were dealing with, but others are here to stay. You know, there's a good amount of people who adopted new ways of shopping, and that won't go backwards. But there are some people who will obviously want to return to the way things were prior to the pandemic as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the things, and anybody that's a regular listener to Retail Gets Real knows, I'm fixated on this because I worked for the largest retail in the world, and it took them forever to do just about anything. And the innovations that came out during, certainly at the height of the pandemic, but continuing to this day, where ideas became reality in this truncated period of time, that normally when you're doing something like that, it would take months, if not years, to actually bring to the consumer, to bring to the store, to test and retest and refine and hopefully come up with the best that you could do, only to find out, because it took so long, it's already out of date. But during the pandemic, they were doing things, the idea came in the first week of the month. And by the end of the month, they were introducing it in their stores. And so one of the things I've asked so many of our leaders that we've had on Retail Gets Real is, do you ever expect it to go back? And it's just very heartening, and I hope it stays this way, to hear them say, absolutely not. We can't go back because we've recognized the capacity of what we can do to make the experience a better experience for our customers, for our associates, and for our brand.
You tee that up perfectly. I mean, our theme is accelerate. So, you know, we're accelerating both out of the pandemic, but we're accelerating the tech cycles. We're accelerating the amount of time. You know, it's perfect. It's not the enemy of the good. Iterate, repeat, fail fast. I mean, all those things you might have, you know, heard in business school or heard on, you know, podcasts for years, people had to put that into practice immediately. Yeah. It wasn't a want, it was a need. And, you know, survival depended on it. And that, you know, it's horrible for a lot of the reasons that we had to do it, but it really did accelerate these businesses an incredible amount forward.
I would also say, I think the corner office, the C-suite and the, you know, board meetings, this innovation timeline has become a big topic now, much more comfortable, I think, making investments in that to kind of see. I think the investment is really key because that's where you get the stakeholders to kind of put their flag in the ground and say, yeah, we need to really amplify this, or we, you know, we need to do better in this regard, or we're going to be left behind. So I think a lot of, you know, some of the silver lining behind the, you know, the pandemic and whatnot is that it really kind of opened the eyes of investment in technology and new ways of doing retail.
It's really exciting, to be honest with you. I mean, I, and again, having experienced it and watched it and been, you know, just kind of amazed that you could have the kind of success that these retailers have had, given the bureaucracy that they're up against in creating these new opportunities, and then to see them put the bureaucracy aside and just get the job done. But to your point, Jill, I mean, it was, you know, sink or swim. They didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. And the really good part of that, and the, some of the innovations that came out of it, were the health and safety measures that they were putting in place in their stores for the protection of their associates and their customers. And we're kind of replicating that at the Big Show to some degree. Actually, we're not even to some degree, we're taking it up a notch. You know, for the Big Show, you have to be fully vaccinated in order to register. You need to be masked when you're at our event venues and in our transportation vehicles. You have to try to socially distance to the best that you can. We've widened our aisles so that when you're in the exhibit halls, you can socially distance, and you should always be conscious and aware of the safety protocols that we put in place regarding food, drinks, beverages, all of these things that really came about as a result of the pandemic, but they're good things. And so we're doing what our members do. We don't just try to get by. We listen, we learn, and then we implement. And I think to the safety and to the benefit of everybody that's going to be exhibiting at the show, that's going to be speaking at the show, that's going to be attending the show, that's going to be working the show. And as important is ensuring the health and safety of the people that we come in contact with while we're guests of New York City. And I think that's very important as well.
True. And, you know, we've waited for how many years for Javits' big expansion? So now we have more room than ever, which, you know, is something that we can absolutely take advantage of. I think at last count, we had over 800 exhibitors. That's, you know, that's an incredible amount. And, you know, when you add in, you know, 200 NRF sessions, another 200 exhibitor big ideas sessions, I mean, there's a ton going on. But, you know, there's a lot of places to be and a lot of room at the Javits. So I'm really excited to see people in person and get away from the screen.
Just one other thing, too, just with regard quickly to that expansion, is that all of our content, whereas if you're a veteran of Big Show, you may have like walked 10 minutes between stages because there's a session you want. These are all, now that we have this expanded space on level 4, all of our featured sessions are right there. And just a quick escalator ride up to the 5th level is where our main stage is. So a lot more convenient for full conference attendees to see the content.
It was actually in my closet the other day looking at my shoes, and I saw my Big Show shoes. And I was, I hate them, but I love them. Because they're as ugly can be. But boy, I mean, they save me year after year from the back pain, the, you know, the calf pain and everything else.
I still have not found my favorite. So,
you know. By the way, that North Hall, that new North Hall is just spectacular.
Stunning.
It's incredibly exciting that we have access to that. And they've done, they've just done a phenomenal job. So we're almost out of time. Jill, if you were to give one piece of advice to someone attending the big show, what would that be?
I'm going to break that into 1A and 1B.
All right.
1A, look ahead of time at either the app or the quit guide. So try to map out some kind of idea of where you want to be, when you want to be, because there's nothing worse than just, you know, running back and forth and going to different ends of, you know, try to make sense out of it and make yourself a plan. 1B would be take advantage of what's been really hard to do in the pandemic, which is network. Network with providers on the expo floor, network with the innovation lab, network with speakers, with retail peers. That is something that is very hard to replicate when you are not shoulder to 6 feet shoulder. And everyone is so pumped to be back together and learn from each other. So just take advantage of that and exchange business cards, you know, do the QR code, however you want to connect. But this is where relationships, partnerships, and, you know, business deals are done. So take advantage of it and get it done in New York.
I'm very excited about it. January the 16th through the 18th, New York City, Javits Center, Retail's Big Show. Our theme, Jill?
Accelerate.
If you haven't registered, you can go to our website, www.nrf.com, and to learn more about the big show, about all of the activities and everything that will be going on during that period of time, because there is a lot. In the meantime, let me just thank you once again for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. And during this time of pandemic, shortly, I believe it's coming. I feel it as it moves into an endemic. But right now, we're still in a pandemic. So I close with, please be safe, stay well, and we hope that you can get to New York. Thanks again. Until next time.